Thank you, Charlie. Good evening. What is wisdom? According to Webster's Bible Dictionary, it is the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, good sense, judgment, a wise attitude, belief, or course of action. I like Wikipedia's definition a little bit better. It defines wisdom as this: the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. It also referred to wisdom as unbiased judgment. Very good definition. Charles Spurgeon defined wisdom as that right use of knowledge. The right use of knowledge. What does the Bible say about wisdom? If you think about it, you hear the term wisdom a lot in the Bible. The Bible actually, the word wisdom is found 234 times throughout the Bible, the first being in Exodus and the very last being in the book of Revelation. The word wisdom is found in 28 different books of the Bible, 16 Old Testament books and 12 New Testament books. Since Charles Spurgeon's definition of wisdom is so simple, I would like to look at wisdom based on that definition. Just the right to use knowledge, or the right use of knowledge. But let's look at knowledge briefly before we get into the wisdom part, because knowledge is found 172 times in the Bible. Many of the people that we read about in the Bible have knowledge, and many of the people that we read about do not have knowledge. A knowledge is something that is often easy to obtain, and sometimes it will elude us. For instance, sometimes you will hear of a criminal case where someone is arrested for a series of horrendous crimes, and you come to find out that no one in their circle had any knowledge of their doings. In other words, no one ever really knew that this person was a criminal. We thought he was a good guy. No one had knowledge of that. So in that respect, Webster defines knowledge as acquaintance with or understanding of science, art, or technique. And I'm finding myself disliking Webster's definitions more and more and more. We usually rely on Webster as the all-out authority for defining words for us, but sometimes knowledge is not an understanding of science or art, but rather just the acquiring or possession of information. As I used in the illustration with the criminal case, did you have knowledge of what was going on next door? Yeah, I did have knowledge of it. It has nothing to do with science or art. It has to do with acquiring or possessing information. Someone could spend many years acquiring knowledge but still need wisdom in order to put that knowledge to good work. We tend to look at people with knowledge as being smart. Those who have obtained degrees and things like that, they're very, very smart. They have a lot of knowledge. However, knowledge without wisdom is useless. We sometimes hear a wiser, older person referring to someone with, well, they have book smarts, but they have no horse sense. That's an old saying, if I were to say that, I could preach that here and everybody gets it, but some places, if I were to say that, people are like, what is he talking about? It may be kind of a redneck term to say horse sense, but we understand it, we get it. It's something I've heard all my life. He doesn't have any horse sense. What does that mean? Well, he doesn't have the wisdom. It is knowledge without wisdom. Having book smarts without wisdom. The Bible often refers to the opposite of wisdom as being foolish. So we look at wisdom in the Bible, and the opposite of that would be foolish. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You ever try to give somebody some advice and they refuse to hear it? No, I don't need that. Or yeah, whatever. And they just don't listen to what you tell. You try to tell them, so I've even had older, wiser people come to me and give me advice on giving advice. They will say things like, "Jim, just be patient. Sometimes they just have to learn on their own." In trying to teach somebody something or give somebody some advice, here's some wise advice. I've been through this. I know what you're going through. I can help you with this. They want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. So somebody older and wiser than me says, "Jim, You need to be patient, because sometimes they just need to hear it for themselves, or they need to live it for themselves, experience it from themselves. Sometimes we gain wisdom by making mistakes, and that's just the way it works. The Bible often refers again to wisdom as being the opposite of foolish, or foolish being the opposite of wisdom. Proverbs 14 and verse 16, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." Whenever we want to obtain knowledge, we go to school, we take a class, we sign up for some lessons, or we sign up for something where we can be taught. Or maybe we may Google what we're looking for. We'll get on the internet, we'll Google search it, we'll search for it. That's a term that was foreign just not too long ago. But we will search for things on the internet. We'll watch a YouTube video on how to do it. We were talking at work one day about something, and a guy told me, he goes, just watch it on YouTube, it's there. You can find anything you want on YouTube, how to do anything, how to fix plumbing, electrical, whatever you want. And I would have to agree with that. While most people have figured out how to obtain, knowledge, we surprisingly live in a society that continues to be degraded intellectually. Have y'all noticed that? It seems like our society is getting dumber and dumber and dumber the easier it is to obtain knowledge. The easier it is to find whatever you could possibly want. It's right at your fingertips. They call it what? The World Wide Web. You ever seen something covered in webs? A good example is a pecan tree oftentimes gets covered in webworms, and they will wrap a whole branch to where there's no way that anything can get to the leaves of that, any insect could get to the ends of that, leaves of that branch without getting in this web. Okay, well, the World Wide Web, it just covers everywhere. It reaches to all the facets of the globe. We have information at our fingertips for anything you could possibly want, and yet intellectually, we just seem to be getting worse and worse and worse. And that makes sense. One of the reasons for that is it takes a measure of wisdom to know what knowledge is real and what is false or misleading. I mean, we can take in all the knowledge we want. If it's false knowledge, then and we say, well, this is true. I know it's true. Why? I read it on the internet. It has to be true, right? Absolutely. So I read a quote one time that said that this quote, something about something that happened, and it had a picture of Abraham Lincoln on there, and it said that this was him making this quote, and your first thought is you understand that that can't be, because Abraham Lincoln wasn't around, the internet wasn't around when Abe Lincoln was here. But the disclaimer was, you may not think this is true, but you may think this is Photoshopped, but it can't be Photoshopped, because Photoshop wasn't around when Abe Lincoln was here. So they take you a different direction than the facts, and think of, well, Photoshop wasn't here when he was here. When it comes to wisdom, most people just believe that it takes a lot of years of living to acquire it. In other words, it's going to come. It will come to us naturally, eventually, over time. This proves the old adage, there's no fool like an old fool, is to be true. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13. It says here in this passage, Ecclesiastes 4:13, "Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished." When I asked a while ago about someone that will not receive instruction, that person in the Bible is called foolish. They don't have the wisdom to receive instruction. In fact, you're trying to impart upon them sometimes wisdom, but they will not listen. This is proof that wisdom doesn't just come naturally. We sometimes, like I said, believe that wisdom will come as I get older. He's an old and wise person, but this talks about an old and foolish king. So to believe just in your heart that wisdom will come like gray hair, it's going to get here for some sooner than others, but it's coming, that's not necessarily the case. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of thy mouth." Someone at the door, buddy. This verse screams out to us, the wisdom is something that we must desire, and seek. Okay, so we look at this passage, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. We are to get wisdom. God expects us to get wisdom. God expects us to desire and to seek wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 through 18 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. That's a deep passage, a long passage, but there are some interesting things within that. It says she is more precious than rubies. All the things that thou canst desire cannot compare to her. You think about that. How much can you want? How much could you possibly desire? Of all the things that you could possibly desire, none can compare to wisdom. Powerful. How could anyone read this passage and not think that God wants us to have wisdom, expects us to have wisdom? We should be wise as members of the Lord's church. We should be seeking wisdom. We should be seeking God's counsel. That God expects us to seek wisdom is just all over the scriptures. According to this verse, wisdom brings prosperity and it lengthens our lives. Interesting thought. You read it and you study it, you'll find that that is true. That's what it's saying. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. So we can understand that's where we get what we gain from wisdom, or one of the side effects or blessings of it. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 8 says, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. We can go through Proverbs, and it's very difficult to study Proverbs on an expository sense, because it jumps back and forth here and there. I can go pick out all the verses that talk about wisdom in the book of Proverbs, and they're just little words of wisdom, so to speak, little quirks. Not a lot to be said about it. They're very blunt and to the point, very easy to understand. While wisdom may bring riches and honor, it is nonetheless seldom recognized. That is, that sometimes we don't... I just read where wisdom should be desired more than anything that we could desire, and yet we oftentimes just ignore wisdom. We just think it's going to come naturally. We've all heard some old person say something extremely foolish. I'm sure we have, because you're like, I cannot believe he just said that. I cannot believe that just came out of his mouth. He should know better than that, right? A lack of wisdom. Perhaps it is that we focus too much on other things and we have not sought out the wisdom that God encourages us to seek out. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. It says, this wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and he besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. The wise man saved the city, but got no recognition. And that's not what he did it for. However, we have to think about that. Oftentimes, listen to the news sometimes and tell me where the wise counsel is. When there's something wise and someone speaks something wise, they're automatically labeled as a heretic. But the foolish can blurt out all they want all day long. And it just goes on and on and on. One may think of it like this. To know that a nut screws onto a bolt is knowledge, but to know which way to turn it, that's wisdom. That's a very oversimplified definition of it, because that again takes us back to horse sense or common sense. However, if we have you ever tried to put a nut on something and it won't go and it won't go and it won't, I don't know what's wrong with this thing, it will not go. You find out it's a reverse thread. Some of you may not know what that is, but a reverse thread is a bicycle. How many of you have ever rode a bicycle? Most of you have rode a bicycle. You may not know that one pedal is a right-hand thread and the other is a left-hand thread. Otherwise, as you pedal, you'd be unscrewing one of them, right? Because the thread would be backwards and it would unscrew it. Okay, so we have a tendency to think of everything as a right-hand thread. Righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, you know, there's sayings to teach your kids so they'll know how to do that. But again, that's horse sense or common sense. But again, if we have knowledge and we don't have the wisdom of how to use it, then it's useless. We're not just talking about common stuff like this. However, we must understand that there is wisdom that is not profitable also. There is some wisdom that is not profitable, and we'll look at that. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. It says this, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Who is wise? Who is knowledgeable? Let him show, it says, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. It doesn't come from God. Descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. If I can't make this clear to you, I would encourage you to take this passage, James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, take it to heart. That is, go home and open this up. Look at it. Do a word-by-word study of what this passage says. It's very, very rich. It's very, very deep. Whenever we have envying and strife within a congregation, we can attribute it many times to a lack of wisdom. It's like a guy with a hot rod car with a big hot rod motor, yet he has no driving skills. That does him no good. When we realize that we hold the key to the most significant thing in the world, the gospel, yet we can't see past our own personal insecurities or prejudices in order to deliver it to those who need it, perhaps it's time to seek God's wisdom. This passage tells us that the wisdom that is from above consists of at least four things: pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. It's interesting. Let's look at the breakdown of these words. I believe that we can first define pure with Scripture. We understand what pure is. Most of the time it's without outside influence or without contamination. Pure is without contamination. But Proverbs 15:26 tells us what it is. Proverbs 15:26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." The words of those that are pure is given us to us as righteous, the righteous. When we think of the first lines of this verse, "the thoughts of the wicked," the thoughts of the wicked, we're always thinking of someone else, right? When it says the thoughts of the wicked, who's he talking about there? I don't know. Let me look around and see. Who's he talking about? I think he's talking about so-and-so in the back there. I think he's talking about somebody else. He must be talking about my neighbor. When we think of the thought, when we hear the term, the thoughts of the wicked, who's he talking to? Have you ever read something in the Bible and say, that's talking to me? That is talking to me right there. God must have had me in mind when he said that. But it wasn't this verse. The thoughts of the wicked, it wasn't that verse. He wasn't talking to me there. He had to be talking about somebody else. That's what we have a tendency to do. Yet the way we often bite and devour one another, we are the very ones that God is talking about in this verse. The next of the four words is peaceable. What does that mean exactly? It means mainly that we are free from quarrels or feuds or commotion. Does that describe us well? Peaceable? Webster says it is not agitated with passion. interesting, not agitated. How often do we talk to somebody and we say, man, that guy's pretty easily agitated? He'll fight you at the drop of a hat, and he'll drop the hat. Eager, agitated, easily agitated. If you're easily agitated, maybe it's time to get that in check. Maybe it's time to pray for a little bit of wisdom. The next word is gentle. It falls kind of into the same category. The word gentle would certainly describe Jesus. I don't know of anybody that wouldn't think that the word gentle describes Jesus. Gentle. When I think of the word gentle, it's almost like you think of meekness. We think of gentle, we think of meekness. And I've heard described gentle as a horse. Or meekness as a horse, that is strength under control. I've seen a lot of horses out of control. I've seen a lot of horses you couldn't get near. And I've seen a lot of horses that people will say, oh, she's very gentle. She's very gentle. I put my kids on her all day long. My kids are just get on that horse. I saw a video of a little bitty girl. She couldn't have been more than about 3. She climbed up the fence. She tied the horse to the fence, and she crawled through the fence, climbed up the fence, and got on the horse. She figured it out. She knew how to get on that horse, and she would ride that horse, and that horse would just stand there and let her get on and do everything. Gentle. Gentle. That horse had the power to do whatever it wanted to do, but it was gentle. The guys, oftentimes men have this bravado, I'm a big tough guy, gentle, don't describe me as gentle. Well, gentle is kind of like meekness. It's strength under control. How many guys of us could be described by gentle? Or what about the ladies in here? How many of you would be described as gentle? And most of the guys, yeah, gentle. She's kind of gentle. No, she's kind of harsh and brash, and she'd fight you in a minute. I'd rather fight her husband than fight her. Kind of deal, right? Because it's surprising today how many people want to come across as being rough and tough, and you don't mess with me, I'll hurt you, I'll mess you up, that kind of attitude. And in reality, there are some people that they're very, very gentle, but you certainly don't want to mess with them or get them agitated or riled up. Think about this. Jesus was one of those people. Remember when he turned over the tables? He got angry. He turned over the tables and he ran the people out. He made a whip and he chased the people out. However, he was gentle enough and he had enough control that when they went to nail him to the cross, he didn't call down 10,000 angels. He didn't just smite all of them and right there, because he had a higher goal in mind. We have a higher goal also, and we should be able to be strong and powerful and yet still be gentle according to this passage. And this is going to take some wisdom for us to make that application. So again, this is where we tie that together. Godly wisdom is shown forth in humility and gentleness. The last part I want to look at is in James 3:17 is easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. That's a tough one. Are we easy to be entreated, or are we harsh and difficult? Do people have when they come up to you and they want to say something? Man, I don't know how to say this to him, but here goes. I know he's gonna lash out at me if we offend somebody deliberately or not. Can they come to us without being afraid of that we're going to jump down their throats? Are we easy to be entreated, or are we the kind of person that says, "Man, I would have told you, but I was afraid you were just gonna I was gonna make you really, really mad." Are we easy to be entreated? This passage tells us that we're supposed to be easy to be entreated. Wisdom is not hard to obtain. We know that the kind of wisdom that we want comes from above. As we just saw earlier, the wisdom that doesn't come from above. So the wisdom that we really want comes from above. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know what the problem is? We don't believe we lack wisdom. We're wise enough to think we're wise, right? Or we're foolish enough to think we're wise, so we therefore don't ask for wisdom. How many times in the time that you've been in the Lord's church have you heard a man stand up and pray the prayer for opening prayer, closing prayer, in the middle prayer, Lord's Supper prayer, whatever prayer it could be, whatever prayer you've ever heard, how many times have you ever heard someone pray for wisdom? How many times? You can probably count them on one hand. Do we pray for wisdom? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Have you ever said something that you regretted later? Perhaps you said something foolish, or have you ever acted out in a less than noble way? I'm sure we all have. We've said things and I wish I wouldn't have said that like that. I didn't mean it to come across like that. It's not surprising that the wiser we get, the less that happens. The wiser we get, the more control we get of our tongue and of our actions, actually. That is why we should ask God for wisdom. That is why the Bible tells us it's one of the greatest things that you can desire, that you could possibly want. I would like to be, talk to a kid and say, what would you like to be? Talk to an 8-year-old. What would you like to be? 10? What would a 10-year-old want to be? 12? A 12 want to be? 14? What does a 40-year-old want to be? 29? We're always wanting something else, right? Of all the things that we could desire, wisdom is one of the greatest things that we could possibly desire. Remember Proverbs 8, verse 11. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11. Remember when God went before the Israelites into battle, they would defeat their enemies, sometimes against unsurmountable odds. They would go in and they would defeat their enemies, and they fully knew that it was God. There's no way they could have accomplished the goals. We talked about David this morning. David went up against Goliath, and everybody's like, wow, what a powerful guy he is. God took out Goliath. This little boy didn't take out Goliath. It was his hand. Through the hand of David, God took out Goliath. And David says, who is this that defies the armies of God? So the Israelites, many times they go into battle and God's right there with them. They're going into battle and they come back victorious. He even shows them sometimes, okay, your attitude's not right. You're not going to succeed. Oh, yes, we are. They go in there, poof, wiped out. They come running back with a tail between their legs. But they fully knew it was God who was working through them, yet they constantly and consistently took the credit, then wondered why God cut them off. Why? What happened, Lord? Had the wrong attitude. Foolish. Your foolish acts, your foolish behavior. We read these things and we say, what fools? They lacked wisdom. They lacked wisdom. And they would sometimes get wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Have you ever looked at a passage and say, I just don't understand it? I don't understand what this means. Get understanding. We can study. We can get more. Ask God for wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. We often say that Solomon asked God for wisdom, and in a sense he did. If you remember, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and a lot of people say, yeah, Solomon asked for wisdom, but he never actually said, Lord, give me wisdom. God asked, what shall I give thee? 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5 is where we find that God told Solomon in a dream, ask what I shall give thee. Ask whatever you want. What do you want? Just ask me. Solomon praises God for the mercy that he showed David, his father. He praises God for the mercy he showed him. He praises God for providing David a son, talking about himself, to sit on the throne. He praises God for that. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, it says, give therefore thy servant, after he gives the praise to God, he says, God asks him, what shall I give thee? He praises him, then he says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. A while ago I made the statement or the question, I said, how many times have you ever heard one of the men lead a prayer and ask for wisdom in all the times that you've been a member of the church? Solomon asked for wisdom and it pleased God exceedingly. God would be pleased that we ask for wisdom. Elders and deacons, I guarantee you, when I say how many times have you asked for wisdom, I'll guarantee you everyone who's ever been an elder or a deacon has at one time or another prayed for wisdom. Lord, please give me the wisdom I need to make this decision and to help this congregation and to lead this thy so great a people. But the average Christian, do we do it? Do we ask for wisdom like we should? Solomon asked for an understanding heart and God gave him a wise and understanding heart. God gave him the wisdom to go along with that wise heart. God will grant us the wisdom we need to carry out His word. But if we think that wisdom will come from any place other than God, then we're sadly mistaken. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we're not talking about wisdom coming from man, although you may get wise counsel and seek wise counsel from a man, and they can give you good advice, wise advice. But true godly wisdom comes from God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. So it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. And then we need to share the wisdom that we have with others, teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. As we found this morning in Bible class, that love is the beginning and end of the Christian comportment. This evening we find that there is something so beneficial to the Christian as an attribute is seldom sought. However, as we've seen in Proverbs 3, wisdom brings happiness. Wisdom is better to have than silver and gold, is more precious than rubies, and there's nothing that we could seek that is greater than wisdom. Of all the things we could desire, none can compare to desiring to be wise. Perhaps it is that you've never really asked God for wisdom because it just never crossed your mind. Maybe it is that you felt like gray hair, it's going to come eventually. Maybe it is that you believe you're already wise. Maybe we can now seek wisdom like that wise writer Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And verse 25, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 25, and he says, I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom. I applied my heart, I poured my heart into it. And the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness. I took and applied myself. I know when I was a kid, I can remember many times my parents, when they would look at my report card, say, he just doesn't apply himself. He just doesn't apply himself. I mean, I can tell he ain't totally a dummy, but he just doesn't apply himself. I never realized more how little I applied myself until I had to sit down and study a book or memorize a chapter of the Bible. And we had to look at God's counsel and what God expects of us, and I would devote myself and pour myself into that. And apply my heart to know what thus saith the Lord. And here Solomon says, I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out. To know and to search and to seek out wisdom. I hope that today, as we leave here, we can all take with us the attitude of Solomon to know and to apply our hearts and to know and to search and to seek out wisdom. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.